Now we'll do an answer and response. And the Bible says, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Okay, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. Once again, that's Matthew chapter 1. Verses 18 through 23. All right, cool. Let's try that again. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Verse 20. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid and take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And let's all read verse 23. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Amen. So we're a few days away from Christmas, and if you're like most youth around this time, you guys are pretty busy, I bet. College students are back, I see that, and I'm glad you guys are here. But it's always a mixture of feelings, right? You guys just got done with your finals. All that stress, all that studying is over. Now you can rest, and you can have some fun time with family. There's always the busyness of the holiday cheer. There's always decorations. We just had a gift exchange. There's all kinds of shopping, parties, all kinds of crazy things that goes on at this time. But there's also many joys of this season. And perhaps the greatest joy, the most important joy that we can celebrate or we can experience during this time is the spending time with loved ones. In fact, I would say there's probably no greater thing to do during this Christmas time than just to rebuild our relationships and just have fun with those who we love. You know, Connie's not here. Those of you guys who don't know who Connie is, I see some new faces. Connie is my wife. Connie's not here right now. She's in LA. And I can tell you, man, I miss her. The first, like, 5 hours, woohoo, single man. No. Right, no wife, no kids. But last night was tough. I couldn't sleep last night. And yeah, I missed my wife. It doesn't matter whatever it is that we're doing. It's just really good to spend time with her. It doesn't matter if it's a junk meal that we're eating, or we're on a road trip, or spending time with family and friends. As long as we get to spend time together, that's what's most important. And that's why we're here. Because of all the relationships that we need to celebrate, none is greater than our relationship with God. And you guys know that. This time of year, there's always all these great nativity scenes. You see Mary, Joseph, baby Jesus. And usually the focal point is Jesus, right? But my hope today is that we're going to look past that, because this sermon isn't about the baby that was born in the barn. It's not about a baby being born as the Son of God. But it's all about our relationship with God, past, present, and future. Emmanuel, God with us. This is really significant, enough so that Matthew actually wrote what it means. Emmanuel means God with us. This is I'm really tired. I'm sorry. There's no greater reality than knowing who God is. There's no greater reality than being able to know and feel Him in your life. How can the God of infinite wisdom coming from the heights of heaven come down here on earth to consider us equal with Him? I guess in order to really understand the nativity and the Christmas story, I guess we have to go back all the way to Genesis, from the time God created Adam and Eve. That's what God with us means. That they were walking with Adam and Eve some 2,000 years ago. And this birth of a son is just a small part of the greater story of what God's redemption plan was. This relationship with our Creator, that was broken when sin came into the world. It was decisive and it was permanent. And that's why in Genesis 3:15 we see the glimpse of the gospel. Because there was a promise. It said, the woman gave birth to a man, and he will destroy and hold the enemy, and he will restore our relationship with God. This is why Jesus came into the flesh. God with us means that God is our substitute. The only way to restore our relationship was for God to remove our sin. And the primary reason why Jesus came into this flesh is so that he could be our substitute. Because God is holy and just, he cannot ignore sin. A right and just God calls for punishment of sin, spiritual death. That's the price we pay. And without God, there's an eternity of punishment and severed relationship with him. Someone needed to live that perfect life without sin to pay that price and that substitute. Jesus was literally born to die. He did what he did because we couldn't do it ourselves. This wasn't even an afterthought. Because the reality is, from the time of Malachi to the time of Matthew, there was 700 years. No written word, no prophets, just the promise of God. And this is why scripture says it in Isaiah 53. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought about peace, and that his wounds were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned from one another by his own, and the Lord has laid him the iniquity of us all. My brothers and sisters, the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the baby that was born in humility and dead on the cross in humiliation. The innocent Son of God had to live that perfect life, demonstrating perfect love and showing that perfect compassion. That was the purpose of Jesus, the sacrificial lamb. He hung on the cross, battered, beaten, and by man, abandoned by the Father. He endured the wrath and the punishment of God. He had to die for our sins. But the perfect God also rose from the dead, and that's the hope that we have, that he defeated sin and death, and now every man, woman, and child who trusts in his name, in his blood, all have salvation in every way. In every way, I say, Jesus was our substitute. He took what sin we had, everything that we deserve. And because of his perfection, we earn forgiveness. We earn the right to stand next to God, to have new life, to have eternal life, peace, hope, and joy, and ultimately to have relationship with God. And that's what the thing is. That's what we're created for. And that's why we're here. Because in this season of Christmas, it's easy to forget. It's easy to think about presents. It's easy to think about fun. But that's what Advent is. This is the season to prepare our hearts to know that Jesus is coming. The perfect Son. The perfect Son. And ultimately, all of these things happen so that our relationship can be restored with God as well. How's your relationship with Him today? God with us restores our relationship. The only way, even after death 2,000 years ago, even after His ascension, God with us is why we're here. God loves us so much, my brothers and sisters. And that's why when God, Matthew does this really good thing. He starts off with God and he ends with God, right? The incarnation. But then there was a promise. When Jesus went back to heaven, he said, someone is going to come after me. And this is God with us now through the Holy Spirit. In life, we're always challenged. How do we know what to do? How do we have wisdom in making choices? Well, that's what the Holy Spirit is. God with us through the Holy Spirit helps us understand, helps us to grow. John 16 says it this way. He tells his disciples, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you in the flesh. Even Jesus couldn't be at all places at all times. But through His Holy Spirit, He is in every nation, in every generation, so that everyone can be reconciled to God in an intimate, intimate relationship. The disciples were privileged because they actually had this real-life relationship in the flesh with Jesus. And they must have been really sad when they saw Jesus gone. But that's why the encouragement happens. Matthew begins by emphasizing God with us, and then he ends with Emmanuel. He begins with Emmanuel, God with us, and then in Matthew 28:20, he says, Behold, I am with you to the end of age. This was God's plan. In being born as a baby, and this relationship that we now have with Him through Christ, everyone can truly believe and have spirit and know God is with us. If you're a disciple of Christ, if you know who He is, there's a distinct awareness in your life. You know God is always with you. We may not understand it. We may not be able to explain it. But I guarantee you will feel God, that presence, that voice, that love that tells you, you're with me. And it's active in all of us. It is His Holy Spirit that opens our eyes to understanding Scripture. It brings convictions of our sins. And it gives us the desire to follow the example of Jesus Christ. The Spirit heals and comforts, directs and leads, encourages and gives strength. The Spirit resides us in all, changing us into the image of Jesus Christ. That was God's plan, to restore that relationship so that we can be like Christ. And now through our relationship with Jesus, we are changing. And through the Holy Spirit, that agent, we become more and more like Christ. So God came to us. God came to us to restore our relationship with the Father. And God comes to us in the Spirit to restore us back into His image. But that's not all. Because He says He will take us with us. So we will be with God forever in His glory. John 14, verses 1 through 3. Because the story doesn't end here, my brothers and sisters. The ultimate goal is for complete restoration of all things. We will be with Him face to face, without sin, without hindrances, without distractions, without temptation. But for now, we live here in eager anticipation for God. So in the between these bookends, with God with us, in the flesh and the spirit, and now God with us, with the Holy Spirit. Because all of this points to one thing, Jesus coming back. We are always supposed to be prepared to live watchful lives, to live in eager anticipation. And this is what the distinct effects in our lives. We start to resemble Jesus Christ. Just as he was human, we get to be like him. People will see us and they'll see the Jesus in us. And on that day when he returns, every man, woman, everyone will have to give an account of their lives. And the Bible says all men fall short. All men are going to be in wanting. For some, this is a fearful day because it will end with the wrath of God being poured out on us. For others, it'll be good. Because for those who put our trust in Christ, there won't be any surprises. We already know we've fallen short, but we trust God and we can pass that test. Because here's the truth. If you already trust God in his blood and in his righteousness, God will look at you and say, my good and faithful servant, come enjoy with your master. Not because of anything we did, but everything because of what God and Jesus did. So when you see that baby Jesus, when we celebrate your restored relationship with God. Look beyond the manger. Look at how active God is in pursuing us. How active God is in our lives. The presence of God in us. And let us remind us just how sure we can be that that baby that was born is a victorious king. And if you're not in a relationship with God, I invite you guys to do the same. Look at the baby. See what he has done, that we can be restored to him. Because the only way to have life is to give your life to him. Those of us who are in right relationship with God, this is the time to return to him. Because of this anticipation, this is the guarantee we have with him forever and ever. Because God with us. Be our substitute. God with us through his Holy Spirit. God with us so we can stay with him forever and ever in heaven. Pray with me. Gracious God, we thank you so much for today. We thank you, Lord, for this season. We thank you, God, for your forgiveness and mercy. And Father, as we look at that manger, as we see the baby there, may our hopes and dreams be in him. May we be completed by his love and his grace. Father, not by our works or anything that we can do, but our trust in you. God, I pray in this season that every youth here will bend their knee and will confess with their tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord. May you bless us. May we have a lot of fun in this season. And God, as those who are traveling, keep us safe, Lord. We thank you for your mercies and love. We love you, Father. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.